going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
It is Star Wars Day. You got a Star Wars guy in Garrett Chapman. Is that you, or is that like your version of Chewie, or is...
I think it's... I don't know. It's just... It's hilarious. I just think this is hilarious. I'm sorry. Chewbacca doing his noises. I will never not think it's funny.
Yeah. Reminds me of our first merch. All right, anyway, so let's get back to your calls here, 404-726-0929. Braves, man, sorry for any of you who had to sit through 3 hours of rain delay and then 3 hours of something that was actually worse than a rain delay until 1 something in the morning last night. God love you. See if they can win one today, try and salvage something out of this series, but there's no there. Same with Atlanta United, 1-0 lead, Miggy gets a goal. Hey, finally here we... No. You know, so one end of town... it's raining and you can't even play. And then when they do play, it sucks. And then the other end of town, they close the roof and things don't really, oh man. I mean, you could have, because of the rain delay, gone to both games and seen it all, both of them. And you know, no. And so there's no there with these two teams. And I don't know. Look, again, you walk me through it. Is it just a case of the Braves getting healthy and hitting, which by the way, it may be. And, am I knee-jerk reacting? Yeah, sure. But it's a knee-jerk reaction not based on what's happened over the last week or two or month. It's a knee-jerk reaction based on what's happened over the last year and 2 years. And in the case of Atlanta United, maybe 5 or 6. Where's the trend line up? Where's the trend line going in the right direction? They spent a lot of money, Atlanta United, more than any other team in Major League Soccer, to rebuild this franchise in the offseason. Hired a new head coach. Where's the trend line up? By the way, where is all of this talent? And God love Darren Eales, because I think he did a fabulous job. When they built this academy, the whole point of building this academy was to create this pipeline of talent into Atlanta United, homegrown, that was going to fill all these roles. And they produced a couple of 3 good players. But I expected, maybe I just don't understand how it works, but I expected this to be a feeder system where you were getting a player every single year, you know, from Andrew Carlton on, that was going to, you know, help this team and franchise, and that Atlanta United was going to be largely built on 6 to 7 starters who were coming out of their own feeder system. That has not happened.
Well, John, it has happened to some degree. I mean, it's not quite as massive as you would say, but no, you have several starters who were on this team right now that are homegrown players. I mean, Jay Fortune's a homegrown player. You have Jamal Tiare. Noah Cobb is a homegrown player.
Yeah,
I mean, you've got several guys.
Are they killing it?
Yeah, no, they're doing great. I think they're. Oh yeah, doing
two wins in 11 games. Yeah, they're doing great.
Those players are doing well. Yeah, I lay it at their feet. It's not their fault.
This thing is not produced the way it was supposed to produce. It was supposed to produce a nonstop powerhouse. That was the concept here. Okay. So to me, if you think it's produced, that's fine. You do you, Garrett. It is not produced the way I thought it would produce. And I understand that the best player they produced, they lost. Of course, that's the way things work in Major League Soccer. But, and I'm not saying that these guys aren't young, good players. I'm saying that, you know, that's the least of my concern. I don't want to get over here into that discussion here. It just hasn't been the boom that I expected, I thought it might be. It's been good, but it hasn't been great. Okay? And so, but it's been good, not great. And the franchise itself, this franchise, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and Garrett, you can correct me on this stat, they were top five in the world in average attendance last year, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they're consistently at the top of any and all attendance rankings.
Yeah. Do fans deserve a little bit better than they've gotten?
As of late, yeah. No, I think so.
You mean as of the last 6 years?
Yeah. No, no. That's
of late?
Yeah. No, the last 5 years, I would say, it's not been good enough. The last 5 years have not been good enough. And I think they recognize that fact. And I've been fairly critical of this club here over the last couple of, at least the last couple of weeks. Because I gave them the benefit of the doubt throughout the course of last year up until about the midway point. That's when I started to... All right, my patience was worn thin. At this point, we are just going through the motions, and it's the same old song and dance. That's why I'm frustrated. And John, I'm not going to blame the homegrowns. I don't think it's the homegrowns' fault at all.
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming the homegrown players.
I just want to make it very clear that the homegrown players are likely the only positive thing that I've seen from this club through this point in the season. They're the only positive thing.
And that may be fair. Okay, I'm not blaming that. I'm just saying at large... The academy, which was designed explicitly by Darren Eales to produce a nonstop flow of quality talent that was designed to keep Atlanta United at the top and winning cups, has not come through. It just hasn't generated that. It just hasn't.
I would actually venture to say that Atlanta United has one of the better homegrown systems.
Okay, that's fine, but again, it hasn't reached. Again, we're talking about two different things.
Other clubs have just made better signings.
Don't care about other clubs.
They've just made better signings.
Don't care. No, I don't know that they have. I don't know that that's true.
Win loss record says they have.
No. Well, what if it's just again? I'm not sure that that's the case. This team, on paper, according to Mike Conley, and I believe him, is second in Major League Soccer in terms of overall talent roster through and through. The question isn't that. The question isn't, do you have the talent? Yes, they have the talent. So what's missing here is the disconnect between the coach and the players. And the coach has even called that out on multiple occasions, blaming the players for not being, you know, kind of on his wavelength here. Well, coach, got news for you. It may not be their fault. It may be the fact that you don't necessarily want to bend to where they are. Again, I'll use the analogy that a new coach is hired in basketball. I've mentioned this before, so I'll make it quick, and I want to get to Brian here and everybody else that's waiting. New coach gets hired to a basketball team that haven't been winning. Walks in and says, oh, wow, I've got seven-foot-two guys. Look at that. I've never seen a team this big. Yeah, coach, we're a bunch of seven-foot-two guys. Wow, that's cool. Well, guys, we're going to be a run-and-gun three-point shooting team. And one of the guys says, yeah, the seven of us can't shoot threes. We're all kind of low-post players. I don't care that you're low-post players. That's what we're going to do, but we can't shoot threes. Well, you're going to do what I want to do, regardless of what you can do. So that's where we're at here. There's a disconnect between what the coach wants to do and what the players are capable of doing best, okay? So either... we have to change the way that we use the players, or we got to change the coach. And if the coach isn't willing to bend and change the way he wants to play and come up with a new way to play, if he says he's going to force these, you know, square pegs into his round hole, guess what we're going to get more of? Let's go to Brian here. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Mr. Freak, how you doing today?
Good, man. What up, Brian?
Oh, okay. Just wanted to tell you, I'm going to make this real quick. Basically, what I think it won't happen, but the biggest thing is related to the money. If we could get a starting top-tier pitcher, somebody we know that every time he goes out, which is equivalent to what we thought we had in Sale, that can go out and we can relax on one, not totally relax, but at least, you know, have the confidence to relax on one day, I think that will make a difference as far as attitude on the team. And the second one, this is my
All right, let's stop right there. You'll get to your second, because I have to ask. You mean like Max Fried?
We had him in progress. I mean, that's another story, but that goes back to the money. It's not going to happen because the resources and the money, they're not going to put into it.
But well, that's what
we
know.
You're asking for solutions, though.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I think would be one solution.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it. But as you said, it's not a solution because they won't put the money into it. And that's really a shame. I feel for Alex Anthopoulos because his hands are tied.
So that's what I think. Pitching is one, and the other portion is we got to bring back Jock Peterson and the Pearls.
Well, we got to bring something. I mean, Jock himself, I think we went through a stretch where he was like some ungodly, like 0-53 or something. I mean, he was just... You know, we're bringing back everybody. I mean, we brought back Rosario for the third time, Chavez for the 15th time. We might be bringing Kimbrel back. We brought back, you know, Soler. We brought back, I mean, we brought back Rosario. We brought back, you know, we're bringing everybody back. Let's get the gang back together again. Let's see what we can't do if we bring the gang. I mean, they're bringing every. I mean, the other guys they're not bringing back, they need to bring back like Barry Bonnell and Biff Pogaroba. I mean, let's get, you know, those guys back too. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, where's Rick Camp when you need him? I mean, oh my God. I mean, we're going to go down that route. Hey, is there another mailer out there? Mickey, Ricky, mailer. We need a mailer. So I don't know what the answer is here, except that the trend line is not good. It's going down. They have a lot of talent, but there's no there. I talked about this last year. Brian, it bothers me to no end. You're right. We need pearls, not necessarily Jock. They had a chance with the rec specs at the beginning of the year, and this Braves team, they miss out. If I have an indictment of the, and it's not an indictment, that's a terrible word. If I have a complaint about the Braves organization, okay, this is the organization, they miss out on obvious things to me. And this is my experience having worked in this business for 46 years. The moment Sean Murphy shows back up, starts hitting home runs, right, Brian, with the rec specs, why are there not 50,000 pairs of rec specs in the stands the very next game?
True.
Why not?
For some odd reason, that team, they respond to gimmicks and having fun. That's just what they've been going for.
Yeah, of course. It goes back to Josh Donaldson, you know, waving the white flag, you know, or, you know, Ozuna before he was Ozuna from the Braves, was, you know, doing the whole selfie thing. Or we were doing chops, you know, when we were sliding into second base. And then there's pearls, and there's all sorts of stuff that take off. And the Braves just seem to sit there and go, huh? You know, the organization doesn't even embrace it. I'm like, you guys have to embrace this. When the rec specs happened, dude, rec specs were a thing. Roll with the thing. And they didn't. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, there was a team back in the early 2000s that won the World Series, the Anaheim Angels, now known as the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, off the 57 on Catella near Disneyland, official team name. They had a rally monkey. Somebody shows up with a monkey, okay, a stuffed monkey at the game, and they're sitting behind home plate, and they put rally monkey. All of a sudden, there's rally monkeys there, and the Angels are handing out rally monkeys. And Tim Salmon's holding up a rally monkey. Everybody's got there's Chuck Finley with a rally monkey. Everybody's got a rally monkey. It was the stupidest thing, but it was something to climb onto. Ended up winning the World Series, you know, behind this stupid rally monkey, which, again, focuses everybody on one goal here, because isn't it like, Brian, and I'm sorry I'm ranting, that these guys go up to the plate as individual hitters and not members of a team?
Hmm?
Everybody wants
the home run.
Everybody's out to get theirs, and if it works out to the benefit of the team, great.
I can't argue with you on that one.
That's kind of how I see it. Again, there's no there. This is why, and again, I'm not trying to indict Ronnie Dyla or Brian Snicker, both very accomplished team leaders who have done wonderful things. Snicker's one of the three best managers in the history of the 60 years of the Atlanta Braves. Joe Torre, Bobby Cox, Brian Snicker. But if he's leaving at the end of the year, if he's thinking about it, dude, step aside now. Let somebody else take over. Let Eddie Perez take over. Let Matt Tuiasosopo take over. Let Walt Weiss take over. Let's get a new voice for this team. because there's no juice and no joy in Mudville. This is the same conversation I had with you this time last year. Man, not that hard to figure out, is it? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, the Dodgers have come to town and taken the lunch money of the Rays in back-to-back games. Tonight, game three, because it's national TV, it's a 7 o'clock game on a Sunday night. Dustin May and Bryce Elder scheduled to go here. We'll see what happens in this final game of the series, and hopefully the Rays can get something. Talking to you at 404-726-0929 here about, you know, me being a fan. This is my fan frustration coming out. Because I see, you know, this is why I spent so much time talking about the Hawks yesterday, because I started to see where the Hawks could be, when we talk about those trend lines, all right, so look at teams as trend lines. The Hawks, despite the way it ended here, even though it's been kind of a flat trend line with these play-in games the last couple, 3 years, the team is so young, again, a starting five that was younger than the Auburn Tigers starting five this year. But you saw the new talent and you saw the possibility of, you know, probability of Jalen being part of it. And you started to see the growth of Zach and Dyson and Okongwu and even the growth of Trey. And you started to say, okay, maybe that the Hawks timeline is swinging up, that trend line is swinging up next year. Could they be a 50-win team? You saw them, you know, take out those top six teams in the East. And if you just kind of eliminate the bad losses, and maybe they can be more competitive. And then the Hawks turn around and then they say, yeah, we're going to fire everybody in the front office. Okay. We're going to bring in a new general manager, and we're going to bring in somebody from the outside to run the team, which is like why I was spent so much time to do what? Are they going to make a major change? Why are they hiring a new team president? You know, I mean, what's going on here? And so, but I saw, you know, a franchise that was starting to finally, at least in my eyes, swing up a little bit. They were starting to click, 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 like on the roller coaster, right? And I went, okay, that's kind of good. I still think the Falcons are clicking up, but that's me. We'll talk more about the Falcons. National media doesn't, obviously. They still hate the Falcons, but that's okay. I want them to hate the Falcons. I want them, by the way, to also diss Dyson Daniels as Defensive Player of the Year. I want them to diss Zach Risacher as Rookie of the Year. I want them to diss Trey Young as an All-Star. I want that. I want that. I want that edge in all of them going, hey, hey, you know, I want that to have that edge. I don't want any of them getting comfortable. So I don't view that as a negative thing. View it as maybe a positive, right? So, but when it comes to the other two teams in town, their trend line is not up. It's down. And as a matter of fact, Atlanta United isn't just down. Atlanta United is this close. You gotta put your thumb in your forefinger. This to falling off the rails, falling off the cliff. What in the name of God is going on here? That, you know, is an emergency situation waiting to happen. And I just don't think I'm overstating it because that's how I don't see it any other way. Maybe you do. Let's go to who's first here? Carl? Let's go to Carl. Carl, welcome to the show.
Hey, look, I like your show and I like your analogy about the coach, 7 footers. But anyway, I want to tell you this. I have been to every major city in the United States. A lot of folks don't understand your concept when you start talking about Atlanta metro area. It is huge. I tell people you can go 60 miles by 60 north to south to north and east to west, and that's metro Atlanta. That's where you're getting the 6 million people from. Anyway, I'm a season ticket holder for the Falcons and the Hawks, and I'm a Bobblehead season ticket holder for the Braves, and I love that stadium. And I have been to the Green Monster. Didn't go inside. I've been to Wrigley Field. Didn't go inside. But, hey, Metro Atlanta is huge. And when I tell people, people will say they from Miami, and I say, I used to live down there. And they go, where about? I say, Homestead. They go, oh, man, that's nothing. I'm like, God damn, it's only 30 miles from downtown Miami. My goodness. So people don't understand that concept of Metro Atlanta. It is huge.
Yeah, it is huge. Metro Atlanta goes Gainesville to Peachtree City, north, east to southwest.
Exactly. I mean,
that's over 70 miles. Any more, Cartersville to Griffin. I mean,
right.
I mean, there will be a time, not in my lifetime, maybe not in yours, where Chattanooga and Atlanta merge.
In Birmingham, you're right. Cause I go to Birmingham all the time. But yeah, when you're coming in from Birmingham, when you get to exit 24,
when you get to Tallapoosa, it starts.
Right.
By the time you get to Villa Rica, you're in Atlanta.
Exactly. That's exit 24. My cousin live on the other side of I-20. That's exit 94. That's 70 miles.
Right. No, it's huge. But the point is, Atlanta as a huge market here has to start acting like a huge market. Because, again, right. Go back, not to retread yesterday, New York is the number one market, L.A. is the number two market, Chicago is the number three market, the number four largest market in the country is Dallas, Fort Worth, and then number five is Houston, and then you get to six and seven, and I think Atlanta is seven and maybe six. I mean, it's right there, okay?
Right.
It's bigger than Washington. It's now bigger than Philadelphia. It's much, much larger than Boston. Much larger.
And Miami. A little bit bigger than
right,
Miami.
Right, then Miami and Seattle, right. There's some other markets in the Bay Area, right? I mean, those are the Big Ten. But Atlanta's a much bigger market and a much bigger city than Boston and right. and a much bigger drawing area than Boston has. Well, Boston has all of New England. New England. What do you got in New England? Nothing. We got Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina.
Right.
You know, you talk to me about drawing area. You got nothing, okay? So
right.
We got the entire Southeast. We are the dominant city. We are a world-class city. We're one of the most prominent cities in the entire world. We have the world's busiest airport. We are growing like a weed. Fortune 500 companies, Hollywood moves here. Music industry moves here. Everything you want. This town is a powerhouse town. It is a growing, active... You know, Chicago's a dead city, okay? It just is. New York is pretty much a dead city. L.A.'s pretty much a dead city. Things are moving out of L.A., out of New York, out of Chicago. They're coming here. And this is this town is the next great World Series. It's already there with all the events, and that's why the stadium works. Okay, so now why, if all that is true, and it is true, then why in God's name do we treat our sports teams like we're Memphis?
Exactly. You're right. Yeah, it's a big difference. Yeah.
We're not Memphis.
Folks need to realize. Right. I agree. 100%. I love it. I mean, I go down to the stadium where the Hawks and the Falcons play, and that area is transformation. It's just unbelievable.
And it's going to continue to. It's going to continue to transform. You know, the Gulch area thing? I mean, that's just the – they built the Signia. They're going to build the whole Gulch thing. I mean, it's going to continue up. Look, there's nothing you could do. You may hate gentrification. I get it, okay? I understand, okay?
Right.
When I was growing up, different Decatur – who would have said Grady High, Decatur High? Nobody. No, ain't nobody around me. They would say, yeah, no. Now everybody, I want to go to Grady. I want to go to North Atlanta. I want to go to Decatur. I mean, that's, you know, okay. I mean, but that's the way, that's just Atlanta, unlike New York. And I've tried to explain this, Carl, to some people, because I lived in New York, I lived in Chicago, and I lived in Los Angeles. So I know those three cities. I lived in them.
Right.
Okay. Those are established towns. You have, you know, Koreatown in L.A., for example, or you have East Los Angeles, you have
Mexican
South,
town.
What they call South L.A., South Central. Those are established neighborhoods. Okay, let me just finish the point. Those are established neighborhoods of which are not going to change. In Chicago, you have Greektown, you have Chinatown, you have, you know, the Near North Side, you have South Side Chicago. Those are established neighborhoods, for better or worse, and they're not going to change. In New York, the same thing. You have Jamaica, you have all these areas, all the boroughs, and all the things that go in, Bed-Stuy, you name it, whatever it is that's in, and, you know, Staten, Yonkers, they're not going to change. Atlanta is a fungible city. It has changed. Look at, just take Virginia Highlands, okay, Carl? How many times over the last 50 years have we seen Virginia Highlands change from old dripping Southern money to, you know, yuppie to... you know, gay, for lack of a better term, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be, to, you know, the gentrification of it now. It's just changed. And the old, look at the old Fourth Ward, for crying out loud. Look at Cabbage Town.
Right.
You know, Cabbage Town. People are walking around in Gucci handbags in Cabbage Town, going to trendy cafes in Cabbage Town.
Right. Yeah, you got a point. Good point. Yeah.
So Atlanta's a fungible town. Because it continues to grow, but yet we treat our sports teams like we're Memphis, we're the Swamp, we're, you know, no, we're New York, we're London, we're Tokyo. Act like it.
That's right. Got to have that major league mindset. You're right.
And the problem here with the Atlanta Braves is John Malone. Now, I work for John Malone. I work for Rupert Murdoch. I work for Ted Turner. I worked for all three. By the way, of the three, by far the best, Ted. Okay, not even close. But I worked for all three. And John Malone is disconnected and disassociated. He's an F1 guy. He owns Liberty Media. You know, he's in Denver. I mean, he's disassociated with Atlanta. You know, that's why they broke this Braves Holdings off. They sold the stock now, you know, and they're trying to build this stuff across 75 where the Weather Channel is and all this kind of stuff. But he's not paying attention to the team. The team is like the big ride in the amusement park that he owns. You follow me?
Right.
It's like Space Mountain inside of Disneyland. When in fact, the team is he doesn't want to put the money into the team. So I feel bad for Alex Anthopoulos. Because he treats the team like the team is located in Denver, which is a fine town, because guess what? I lived in Denver, too. So I know Denver. Denver's a nice town, but it's not Atlanta. It's not remotely close to it. It's a third the size of Atlanta.
Right. Nothing around but the mountains. It's beautiful, but
Denver's a nice town. Don't get me wrong. It's a nice city. It's nice, and the mountains are nice, but it's not Atlanta. Sorry, I'm just ranting. Because
no problem. I know
we deserve better, don't we, Carl?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I want to see a championship with somebody, the Hawks and Falcons, before I leave. I told you, I still got one more therapy section to go to in reference to that Super Bowl. So, hey, we just need to, yeah, win a championship with those two franchises, the Hawks and the Falcons. The Braves, we've had a couple of, but that stadium is out of sight.
Yep, have one with United and just have one with the Atlanta Drive. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
I know. Thank you, Carl. Do appreciate it. Sorry, I didn't mean to rant on you. Boston wins because Boston demands a Boston win. Boston's not Atlanta. We just have to kind of demand it, which is why the Braves need to be sold. Braves holding has to go. That's a separate issue, but it's time. Arthur Blank is doing whatever the hell he can to try to get us in a position. You think Arthur Blank's a bad owner? He's not. He's a great owner. It's just dumb damn luck, okay? All right. Russell Gertz, and then maybe that's why they changed team presidents. It's time, okay? Let's swim in those waters. Why is it everybody else? Why is it not us? Go do it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'll issue the standing apology that I have. It's a standing apology to all of you that I've had for years and years and years. And that apology is when I get to ranting about this town because I don't understand why we treat our sports teams like Memphis. You know, again, Boston is not nearly the size of Atlanta. Okay, Atlanta's a far bigger city than Boston, with a far bigger area to draw from. Boston wins title after title after title. Atlanta doesn't. And I keep, a couple of years ago, I thought, you know, guys, I think we're on the cusp of it. Maybe here's where the Braves win one. You know, we had the Super Bowl thing, we had the MLS Cup, and I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, now we're starting to roll a little bit. This is going to start happening for us, and then it stopped again. And it's like, all right. Look, I discount New York and L.A., and the reason I discount New York and L.A. is, if you stop and think about it, Garrett, how many, in the five big sports, how many teams does New York have? 9, 10?
Too many.
9 or 10, right?
Yeah, something like that, I'd have to imagine.
There's 3 hockey teams, that's 3. 2 basketball teams is 5. 2 baseball teams, 7. 2 soccer teams, 9. I mean, yeah, they got a whole bunch, right? So, you know, they we'll claim 1 of the 9. Oh, okay, sure. When you got that many, we have, you know, 4, should have 5. There will be a hockey team here at some point. That's the NHL's coming back. Atlanta's too big a town for them not to come back. So there will be a hockey team here eventually, probably in the next 5 years. Cause the NHL can't help itself. It has to get here. I mean, they know that from a revenue standpoint, they need the television market. It's the same reason that Georgia State and Kennesaw State keep going up in leagues, because those leagues want the Atlanta television market. Anyway, I rant because we as fans, especially those of us who've been fans for as long as I've been a fan, if you've been a fan for me for over 10 years, over 20, over 30, over 40, or like me, over 50, then we deserve better than this. We deserve to get a break. We deserve to have that. You know, it was great to have that World Series. We should have multiple World Series in the 90s. We all know that. Don't talk to me about 2-0 back from New York. Don't talk to me about Kirby Puckett or Dan Gladden or Joe Carter or Ed Sprague. Don't talk to me about, you know, Jack Morris. Don't talk to me about any of that, okay? All I know is that we have one. Thank God we got the one against the Indians. Thank God. But, there should be far more here. And so the current situation, which is back to what we're focusing on, is that the two teams that are playing right now are grossly underachieving. There can be an argument made that the Braves on paper are the second best roster in baseball. There can be, even without the loss of like Max Fried, there can be an argument made that Atlanta United has the second best roster in Major League Soccer. They aren't close to acting like it. So since you can't get rid of the players and they're under contract, what's the only thing you can do? I don't understand Atlanta United. It makes no sense to me. Every time Rob Valentino becomes the interim coach, they seem to perk up and play a lot better. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. The two times he has, they seem to have responded to him. But they overthink this. They've overthought it multiple times, going out and getting the coach that's got the credentials rather than the coach that actually gets the players to respond to him. And I wouldn't be saying this about Brian Snicker had Brian Snicker not sort of publicly come out and said, hey, you know, I mean, thinking about retiring at the end of the year. If he hadn't, if he was in it for the long haul, I would say, look, you've got to give all, the man is a great manager. Should have been, as one caller said, guest said, manager of the year last year. I don't disagree. Could they turn it around again this year? Because, yeah, you know, I mean, they're going to hit. I mean, it's what they're going to do. Yeah, just wing, you know. They'll be fine, you know, he'll pitch, you know, they'll hit, you know, yeah, we'll be okay. Which, of course, is an infuriating thing to listen to because you want somebody to, you know, stomp your feet or something. And but he tends to be right. They do tend to come around. It gets warm and the ball starts flying and the next thing you know, the Braves are winning games. Okay. And that may happen again this year, by the way. But since he was the one who said, yeah, I don't know, I might retire, you know. Since he brought it up, right now, do I expect that Brian Snicker is going to be the manager of the Atlanta Braves next year? My answer is no. I think he's done. So since he's done, then why are we hanging on to this? Maybe what this team needs for the remainder of this year is to have a new voice. And let's see if Eddie Perez or Matt Tuiasosopo, Walt Weiss, let's see if they have the future manager like they did with Brian Snicker when he came up as an interim manager when he was promoted through the organization. Let's see if that next manager is already on the team. Rather than automatically going outside, because Atlanta United had the manager already on the team and they went outside. Why? I don't know. Because their manager is already on the team. And he ought to be the manager now. Anyway, I'll stop. All right. Let's go to Ken. He's on with John. Hey, Ken, welcome to the show.
Defensive coordinator.
John, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
Good, man, good. You were talking about, with the other caller, about Atlanta being a mega city, which I agree, man. I'm from Atlanta, born and raised. Watched this city grow by leaps and bounds. But, John, these teams don't. And there's an issue. I mean, with all of them, they don't think big. They don't think outside the box. And I think that's the reason why the Braves are the only team that have a world title in this town. We need to start thinking big, man. It's no pressure from the media. I think the media here is very soft compared to the Northeast and up north. The fans are soft. Yeah, we show up when they're winning. But we don't put pressure on management to get better like they do up in the Northeast with those teams up there. You think Bobby Cox would have lasted as long as he lasted here with the Braves? Bobby Cox would have been gone with that same talent if that was New York or Boston up there, no doubt in my mind. But he lasted, and to his credit, he got us a world title, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. Good for him. But, John, to your point, we need to start putting pressure on these organizations to make changes when necessary. Snicker, it's time for you to go, okay? Thank you, dude. You got us a world title. You've been in this organization for years. I love you like a brother, like a dad. But it's time to go. It's time for somebody to come here and shake this team and wake it the hell up.
Yep, that's what I think, too. I agree with Ken. I think, you know, let's find out if the next manager is already on the roster. It's time. It just is. Brian Snicker's done a wonderful job, but the trend line on the Braves is not up. No, do you believe the Braves are winning the World Series this year? Does anybody actually out there believe that? Because if you don't, and they have World Series talent, which they do, and will, then maybe it's time to shake that tree a little. Let's go to Tomahawk, he's on with John. Tomahawk, what's up? What's shaking, brother?
Yay. Hey, Fricky, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, man, I love your passion. You got passionate as an MF-er. Loved it. But, man, I love Snicker, man. Only flaw I have about him, he doesn't retaliate. Remember Jose Urania, he would drill Acuna over and over, and we never retaliated. That's all. That's my only flaw against Snicker. I love Papa. But, man, this Braves offense, they're streaky, man. And that's what really gets to me. They're streaky. They don't put the ball in play. And furthermore, they don't steal bases. Everybody in the league steals bases, but we don't. I hate that. But, yeah, the Hawks are NBA purgatory, like John Michael said. We got to get either Giannis here to shake things up. I don't know what's going to happen with that team. I want your opinion on that.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going right now. I think it's interesting.
Exactly.
I mean, I take people at their word, all right? I try mm-hmm. to. If you look at the ownership groups here, from a facility standpoint, all three ownership groups have done exceptionally good jobs. Certainly, you know, the AMB with Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the backyard and everything they built that's attended around the stadium. I'm not arguing about churches or anything like that. I'm just talking about what they've done here that led to the Signia.
You let Mel have that conversation.
I know. I don't want to have the conversation. I just look. This stadium has brought world class. Will continue to bring Super Bowls and World Cups and things. It's just the teams inside of it that reside there have not lived up to the stadium here. And by the way, that's not for a lack of spending on the part of Arthur Blank. He's spent more money on the Atlanta Falcons at free agency than any other team in the NFL over a two-year period. And then he just spent more money than anybody in Major League Soccer in the offseason on free agency. So don't tell me he's not spending money. I mean, it is another problem inside, you know, the organization, which is why the general manager, frankly, the general managers, both of them, Garth and Fontenot, have to be on the hot seat at this point.
They are.
And so, which includes, of course, the managers. As to the wrestler Gertz group, they've got more money than God. So I don't know what they're doing. You know, it surprised me that they let Landry Fields go and that they then split the jobs of general manager and team president back into two separate jobs, because that means they're going to hire Tomahawk. They're bringing in a new boss from the outside. I don't know. We saw the whole Danny Ferry thing. They're bringing in a new boss, new team president. Yep. What's the new team president going to do? Is he coming in here to trade Trey? Is he coming in here to make a massive trade for Giannis? Is he coming in here to bring in a new head coach? What's he going to do? I mean, this shakes up their world, and I'll stop. I'm going to be fascinated to see where they go.
That's a good point.
New team president's going to have say. You know, my coach, my GM, my team. Otherwise, they're not going to take the job, right?
And as Shalini calls him, Nicky Boy is going to have his hands in it too.
If you're the team president, you have to have free reign, or you're not taking the job.
Good point.
You know, so I'm not signing on as director of basketball operations and team president of this franchise to be told by somebody who doesn't know. Nobody's telling me what I do. I get to hire the coach. I get to hire the general manager. I get to make the player personnel decisions, and I do so unilaterally. All you do is rubber stamp it.
Understandable. And all right, too, I don't know why everybody bangs on Alex Anthopoulos. I love AA. He's headstrong with Liberty Media. Like, it's almost like what it was in the 2000s. He can only spend on so much.
Yeah, John Malone and Braves Holdings have to go. I mean, they're more interested in buildings than they are in building a team.
It's almost like the Hawks, though. Like, the Hawks don't care about selling out weekend games against the Blue Bloods, where they can fill their fans with building the arena with only fans and models and stuff like that. They don't care about their true fan base.
Well, hopefully that's about to change. I mean, that's why, you know, the big sudden change in the front office is potentially a big shakeup. Thanks. I do appreciate the call. Got to get to a break. Top of the hour. We have two more hours to talk, you and I. And this is a safe space for all of us to vent our anger, because the summer teams, we're not even remotely close to summer, and the summer teams are bailing on us already. I mean, we're to a point where it's like, okay, let's talk college football, and let's talk Hawks offseason and the lottery, and let's talk the draft, NBA, let's talk Falcons, because the summer teams are like, yeah, okay. Man of mercy. Sports Radio 92 on the game. John Fricke on a Sunday morning, swinging to a Sunday afternoon. Next time we talk.